So I'm going to invite you to stand as we get ready to read our gospel. So our gospel today comes from John chapter 2. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone jars, water jars, for the Jewish rite of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. And Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory. And his disciples believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Well, when we read our Gospels, we find that each of the Gospel writers tells the story of Jesus in a little bit different way. They're connecting with people who are going through different concerns, different challenges, and so that shapes how they want to tell the story of Jesus. So if you read the Gospel of Mark, it starts out with Jesus casting out a demon. That's the first deed of power you see in the Gospel of Mark. Matthew and Luke, they tell of Jesus teaching and then healing and then also casting out a demon. When we get to the Gospel of John, it starts out in a completely different way. The first deed of power Jesus does is change water to wine. And John doesn't call it a miracle. He calls it a sign. So miracles are great, but signs point to something. So we can think of long trips, long road trips that we're on, and probably most of us have been super excited to see a sign that says rest area 2 miles. And then we're even more excited to get to the place that that sign points to. The same is true here in the Gospel of John. The sign's amazing that Jesus turns over 150 gallons of water into really good wine. But what's even more amazing is what the sign points to, what it tells us about Jesus. So we know that this sign happens at a wedding. And what's helpful to know is that back in that day, weddings weren't just one day. They lasted almost a week long. And wine was always offered. Wine was seen as a sign of joy and blessing and hospitality. So if the wine runs out, it's not just an inconvenience. It means the party's over. Like this fun gathering of family and friends, starting out the couple's life in this way, that's suddenly done. And it starts the couple out on a bad note. One person who wrote about it said this couple would have been the talk of the town for running out of wine for their guests, and so, in a sense, Jesus literally saves them here. Jesus reveals his concern for us not just in the life and death moments of life, but in the everyday moments that we go through. Now, for those who were at the wedding who knew that Jesus turned the water to wine, not everybody does, but for those at the wedding who knew, it might have brought to mind old scriptures that talked about how God was going to bring a new age, and a symbol of that age was wine flowing in abundance. In the book of Genesis, it tells of a ruler coming from the tribe of Judah, and again it says, with him comes wine in great abundance. So the disciples see Jesus do this sign, and they probably start to think of these old scriptures, and they're like, this is it. God is doing this new thing in Jesus. So for us here today, we hear about this sign of water to wine, but at the same time, we might wonder, what does this really have to do with us today? The sign tells of Jesus' goodness, it talks about God's abundant grace, but how do we see that in real ways, day to day? Especially at those times when we are grieving, or when we are ill, or when we're overcome with anxiety, or we're wondering, how am I going to pay this next bill? How am I going to keep my job? Or how am I going to even start to repair this friendship or relationship that's kind of fraying away? If we look at this story, what we see throughout it is some really human responses to Jesus. So it starts out with Jesus' mom. Jesus' mom knows the problem. They've run out of wine. She tells Jesus that, implying, like, do something, Jesus. And Jesus' response is, it's not my time. My hour has not yet come. Now, I would think that response might be a little disappointing. Like, Mary knows he can do something. She knows there's a need. And so she's probably kind of like, what are you waiting for? Like, act now. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I kind of feel like my prayers are like Mary. I can see the need. And I'm like, God, come on, now is the time. Like, heal now. Fix this world now. What are you waiting for? Do something right now. I think there's a lot of times when we can feel a little bit like Jesus' mom here. We see the need, know God can do something, and we're like, act now. Other times, we might feel more like the steward in this story. The steward is this guy who, in the middle of this wedding, is busy doing his job. He's like taking care of things, trying to make sure everything's going smoothly, and he completely misses what Jesus does. And I think there's times, aren't there, when we can be totally oblivious to what Jesus is doing? Like, we can get so focused on our own stuff or trying to control the situation, we kind of miss what Jesus is doing over here, or sometimes right in here. And that's the steward. He gets to taste this really good wine. He experiences it, but he has no clue that Jesus has done it. And sometimes that's us. We miss seeing what Jesus is doing, even though it's happening right in front of us. And then there's still another group in this story, the servants. The servants get to see what's happening. They actually get brought in to be a part of it. Jesus does the sign, but he calls on the servants to help. So he asks them to fill the water jars. He asks them to get the cup out of it. He asks them to take it to the steward. So Jesus does the sign, but it's through their hands it's completed. It's through their hands it gets made known. So Jesus partners with them to do this good thing. I think we know that Jesus continues to partner with us today to make known what he's doing in this world. It might invite us to really think about how might Jesus be partnering with each one of us this upcoming week. What are some ways he's partnering with us to share his abundant grace, to point to that? Before the water ever gets turned to wine, there's something Jesus says that's kind of stuck with me this week. Jesus' mom says to him, they have no wine. And he says, my hour hasn't yet come. But he also says, what concern is that to you and to me? What concern is that to you and to me? And I don't know about you, but that's kind of a surprising response coming from Jesus. It kind of reminds me of times when we hear people say, how's that my problem? How does that concern me? Jesus seems to say that, but then he does something, implying it is a concern to his mom and to him, implying that the needs that happen in this world, the lives that are living in scarcity, is a concern to Jesus and to us. So Jesus takes everyday ordinary water and changes it into abundant, outstanding wine. Jesus enters this ordinary human experience of a wedding and changes it into a celebration that points to God's abundance and grace made known in him. And Jesus has never stopped doing this kind of work, taking our ordinary lives, our ordinary moments, and through them revealing God's abundant grace. In the context of worship, it happens at this baptismal font every single time someone's baptized, where ordinary water gets combined with God's extraordinary word, and it works through that to set us on a different path, to bring us into God's abundant, life-giving way now and forever. It happens at this table every time we celebrate Holy Communion. We receive these very ordinary wafers and wine or grape juice, and that combined with God's extraordinary word becomes Jesus for us. We're once again given this renewal, this forgiveness, ready for a new week ahead. It happens anytime someone just stops what they're doing and sees we're maybe not having the best day, and they stop to just listen, to listen to what we're going through. Something so ordinary, but it can show such amazing care. It happens every time somebody brings an ordinary meal to you when you're sad or sick or recovering, and somehow in that meal you feel so graced. Or it happens anytime someone shovels your driveway or plows it out, sometimes unexpectedly, to make life easier for you. And once again, in that ordinary act, you feel graced by God. Or it happens in these words, when we speak these ordinary words of, I'm sorry, please forgive me. And when we hear back this amazing yet ordinary response, I forgive you. And in these words, sometimes they heal and renew, at times in abundant ways. I saw a quote this past week by Jane Goodall, and she said, you cannot get through a single day without having an impact on the world around you. What you do makes a difference, and you have to decide what kind of a difference you want to make. And I love that quote. Like, we can't go through a single day without making an impact. We just need to decide what kind of an impact, what kind of a difference are we going to make? And at the same time, the gospel news, the good news is that it's really Jesus who makes all the difference for us and through us. This first sign of water being turned to wine, every single person at the wedding, the mom who pleads with Jesus to do something, the steward who has no clue what's going on, the servants who partner with Jesus, no matter where they are, every single one of them experience the abundance of what Jesus has done, no matter what. His abundant grace upon grace came for them all. And so as we head out into this week, we may leave carrying with us prayers like Jesus' mom, wondering, will you act, God, now? Or this week we may find ourselves being like the steward, where we're stuck looking at all our own stuff, forgetting, missing what Jesus is doing. Or this week, we may get to be like the servants at times, fully partnering with Jesus to live out his grace. And yet, no matter where we find ourselves, what Jesus promises is Jesus' abundant grace upon grace. It comes for us all. Amen.